Blog Talk Radio. Imagine more than words can say. He loves us. You know, there's a song that says, "He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. He loves me so. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so, for loving us more than we love ourselves." In so many instances, I can just do nothing more than be grateful. So let's get started, Mother. Would you please pray us in this morning?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we are so thankful. We're thankful. We're grateful. We give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, this is another day. I mean, we could have been dead and gone, but you've given us another day to get it right. Lord, thank you. Lord, use us. Use us with this talk show to draw somebody to you. I mean, that's why you left us here. Oh, Lord, I thank and praise you. Bless Pastor Jesse, Pastor Bridget, talk show. Just, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. My heart is full. I just thank you, and I give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen again. Thank you for the Sunday.
Amen.
Bride.
Hey,
Lord.
You can't help but get excited when you think about the goodness of the Lord. Woo!
Thank you. Jesus.
Yes, Lord. I'm all filled up, Mother, because when I think about how good God is, I can only thank him. You know,
thank
as we you, were looking at the, I was looking at the word, actually, last night, and I was talking to God, and I'm like, wow, God, all it takes is obedience. Obedience to you. That's what you want from us, obedience. And, you know, we've all read the scriptures. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It is.
Amen.
God wants his children, just like every parent, wants his child to be obedient, to be obedient to him, to be obedient. Parents, that's all they ask for, an obedient child. Because when they're obedient, they will accomplish what they need to accomplish. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because sometimes we can be parents that need to have been a little harder, a little bit harder, because the results may have been different. But we got to go and we got to move forward and we got to do what we're supposed to do. And what we need to do continuously, pray for Israel. Pray for Palestine. Pray for God to allow what's been done in the dark come into light. And I pray especially for our seniors and for our children who are caught up in war of people who have power. People who have power cause wars. It's not
My
the
Lord.
Little guy. It's not the little kids. It's people who have too much time, too much money, and too much influence, and they create wars for their own benefit. Because who is benefiting from this war? Who's benefiting from the war in Ukraine? Who's benefiting from the war in Israel? Who's benefiting? It's not me. It's not you, children that are being killed. It's not the lies that are being told. We've got to ask God, Lord, reveal the truth of a manner and watch God work. I trust in God, and I know that he will come through. I believe that he will come through. So let's get in our word this morning. We are coming out of the book of Jeremiah. I pray everyone can hear me clearly. And
Amen.
The word of God says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, claim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways. Amend your ways. your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words. Come on now. You think Jeremiah was right now, right here, right in Israel. What did he say? Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your heart, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I sit my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people, Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early, speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women gnaw the dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? God is not pleased. He's not pleased. He wasn't pleased then, and he's not pleased now, because folks is doing too much. As the kids say, you do too much. Too much is going on in this world. Too much is going on that is not of God. And God is going to hold us all accountable for the actions of a few who do nothing more than want to cause wars and confusion. God is not a God of confusion. He is not. He wants the best for us. And, you know, I was looking up the word, what is the Queen of Heaven? You know, and it says the Queen of Heaven was a title given to a number of ancient sky goddesses worshipped throughout the ancient Mediterranean and the ancient Near East. Goddesses is known to have been referred to by the title includes Anat, Isis, Nut, Astra, and possibly Asherah. In Greco-Roman times, here and in Juno bore the title. You know, and it's like, what in the world? The Queen of Heaven. And they even have, you know, where you can see in ancient stuff, where they drawn pictures of what they considered the Queen of Heaven. And I'm like, this is some stuff. You know, and Jeremiah talked about it, the worship of the Queen of Heaven. And God has said, no, they are sky goddesses. And then there were those who want to try to call Mary, the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Heaven. And that is sacrilege. That is not of God. And we got to remember that. Don't let anybody tell you to worship the Queen of Heaven. There is no Queen of Heaven. And, you know, I had to stop and go back to that because that's one of the things that provoked God to anger. And then it goes on to say, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on a man and on beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. Come on now. And I'm going to go back to that because, you know, we get caught up. But it says, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, follow the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, and they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolated heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. He's saying child sacrifice. These folks are sacrificing their children and saying they're doing it to me. He said, they're doing it to a false god, a little g. You know, and God is not pleased with this mess. You know, he's like, no. Given over your children to sacrifice. You know, and he said this, and it tells us, but God. And it says in the Hebrew Bible, Tophet, or Tophet, is a location in Jerusalem in the Valley of Hinnom where worshipers engage in rituals involving passing a child through the fire. Most likely child sacrifice. Traditionally, the sacrifices have been ascribed to a god named Moloch.
My Lord.
God My is Lord. Like, what in the world? Yeah. I didn't tell you to do this. This is not from me. You know, God is like, whoo, he's just having, you know, I can imagine the Lord who created the heavens and the earth having a moment to say, what is wrong with these folks? They are sacrificing their children. And it says this,
my
Lord, will be hard. The days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet or the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. But they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heavens and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. At chapter 8, and I'll do my chapter 7 and chapter 8 life lessons after I read chapter 8 this morning of the book of Jeremiah. For those that are just joining us, this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget and Pastor and Minister Valerie. And we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And today we are coming out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7 and 8. Our psalm this morning is the 118th Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 through 6, and Colossians chapter 2. So thank you so much for joining us this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it says, at that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven which they have loved and which they have served, and after which they have walked, which they have sought, which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuge on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem is a perpetual backsliding. Wow. They hold fast to deceit. Think that everything he's saying is to a today word. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed time, and the turtle dove and the swift and the shallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the last even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone deals falsely. But they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grape shall be on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we still sit? Or why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves. There's that word again. Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord, our God, has put us to silence and given us water to drink. Whew. Because we have
sinned
against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horse was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the name of his strong ones. But they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. I will comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people. From a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images with foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Wow. Wow. All God asks is for obedience. Obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7:23. And says, God desires prosperity for you. He wants you to be a whole person, balanced and growing and fruitful and fulfilling his purpose for your life. So ask yourself, why do I desire? What do I desire? How am I acting on it? Pagan deities might be believed to call for human sacrifice and worship, but God never does. That he wants to give life, not take it. He wants to bless us, not terrify us. He wants us to love him, not cower before him. God is seeking obedience. God is seeking our love. God wants us to know who we are. You know, and I had accidentally put this scripture as 13. But verse 13 says, and now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early, speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. And he's saying, I need your obedience. I need your obedience. God does not want money from us. You know, we get caught up in the superficial. Yes, you need to pay your tithes. You need to give an offering because the doors of the church will not stay open if you don't. You can't give a pittance to the church because the electricity, the water bill, the gas bill, the taxes, the mortgage, the rent, whatever, it has to be paid. And I have to say this because I've seen it. So many pastors take care out of their own pocket. They work to pay for the church because the parishioners don't want to pay their tithes. Don't want, I ain't going to buy the pastor a new car. Excuse me, keeping the doors of this church open because they work a job so they can pay the bills because they don't get enough to pay them well. And the pastors, I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of pastors don't get paid. I know mine didn't. For almost 11 out of 13 years, she did not get paid. And I can say it. She gave everything back into the church. Everything. And we need to stop and take heed and obey God. And it says in Jeremiah 8 and 9, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And we know the word is Jesus. So what wisdom do they have? Rejected the word of God. But John told us who Jesus was, that he was the word. And we need to know they rejected him. It says whenever we obey the word of God, we reject, whenever we disobey the word of God, we reject God's wisdom. For what we consider to be more potent or effective wisdom. But it never turns out that way. Wisdom apart from God always leads to death. And we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it right now, and it's breaking my heart to see war and to see children dying, people being kicked out of their homes, millions of people, and to have a leader say, I'm going to put it, I'm going to take it ground. What if it's somebody who can't get out and you bomb it to the ground? God will hold you accountable. And everybody that follows after evil, God will hold accountable. For those who got involved in bombing Israel, a peaceful night during the holy time. Why? Because there's agents of confusion, and they come not from God. They come from the enemy, the little slimy snake, putting the thoughts of power and overthrow in the mind of little men who have no understanding of the love of God. And the word of God says what the Bible says about God is our comforter. The recognition of God's power to their hearts is a key component to experiencing his tender love. In the midst of great pain, Jeremiah acknowledged his sadness and the ability of God to comfort him. So he cried out, I will comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Jeremiah 8 and 18. Centuries earlier, King David mourned reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. 69th Psalm, verse 20. In the people around him, he could find no solace, but near the end of his song, his tune had changed, and you who seek God, your heart shall live, for the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. 69th Psalm, verses 32 to 33. Where do you look for comfort? If you have relied on human remedies, you know how their effectiveness diminishes over time. Some try food or alcohol or drugs or escape into fantasy. Come on now. Anything to attempt to outrun the pain. But when the artificial glow wears off and the dream ends, the ache remains. There is no such thing as a life without pain and trial, and therefore no such thing as person without need of comfort. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that the key to leading a joyful Christian life is avoiding pain, that sinful world, and neither is it profitable for us. God could choose to insulate you from hurt, but instead he allows you to experience the tough times that draw you closer to him. Out of your pain comes a need for God as he ministers to you, and you accept it with thanksgiving and a desire to learn. You become equipped to minister to those he places within your reach. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. hurting individuals know there is no substitute for experience. You can reach for God's comfort right now. Ask him to give you solace and find yourself wrapped in the love that will not let you go. I experienced how I got into ministry and licensed and ordained was through pain. Through pain. Gut-wrenching pain. Birth of ministry, birth. Everything in me. God had to take from me to get me to do what he had called me to do. It was me. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think it was my calling. It had to be somebody else's. But it was always me. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you your time. I'm going to give you grace. But my time is coming. And it has. And I am grateful because God made me stronger. I got a lot of work to do, but I'm willing to do it because I know that in the end, God will get the glory. And as we go into Jeremiah 8:22, why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Even in Jeremiah's day, God offered hope and healing to his spiritually diseased people, but they had to come to him and accept his prescription to find life. We will never find life anywhere else. We've got to call on the name of Jesus. We've got to look up and tell God, thank you. Lead me, Lord. And as the psalmist said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Israel Houghton uses this scripture in the song, Lord, you are good. And as he is coming in, he says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And it says, let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Say with me, mother. His mercy endures forever.
His mercy
I fear God.
Forever.
I Amen. Love God. But I know that his mercy endures forever. Amen. All we have to do is believe. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. Ooh, I'm
feeling Amen.
It.
Amen. You know, this is a beautiful word. It said, obey my voice. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. All we have to do is obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And God told Jeremiah, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a prayer for them, nor make intercessions to me, for I will not hear you. Do not pray for these people. Boy, I wouldn't want God to say that to me. Do not pray for these people. Israel, he said, don't pray for them. Don't lift up a cry. That's really something when God say, do not pray for these people. He's telling them, obey my voice. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. But they didn't want to. They didn't want to obey. And when God gets angry, I would hate to be around when God gets angry. When God gets angry, that would be, ooh. Proverbs 27:5-6 reads, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Colossians 2:1-23. For I know you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom were hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, just I say, these things want to deceive you with persuasive words, for though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We're supposed to always give thanks unto the Lord. Always be thankful that he woke you up. Always thank God that you've seen another sunrise or another sunset. No matter what you go through, God is there with you. So always be thankful. Be thankful. Thank God. Thank him for allowing you to have a car. Thank him for allowing you to walk and just brush your teeth. Thank God for all the things that he allows you to do. Only by the grace of God can you do it. So be thankful. Beware lest anyone teach you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In him dwells everything, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also was raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. My Lord, there ain't no grave going to hold that body down. He got up. And if he got up, that means that when it's time, we're going to get up. Could no grave hold that body down? The faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Every sin, I mean, this is amazing. Every sin that you have committed has been nailed to the cross. All you got to do is ask God to forgive me. Forgive me for everything, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And if you do that, all your sins have been nailed to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his forceful mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body mirrors and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. Don't let nobody deceive you. Don't stray from the word. When these people come talking different philosophies and Jehovah's Witnesses and all that stuff, don't listen. My niece told me, I think it was last week, the Jehovah's Witnesses were knocking on the door. I said, don't let them in. Don't listen. Don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let them deceive you with philosophy and anything that's not of God. Therefore, if you dive with Christ from the basic principle of the world, while still living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. with all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men? These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. We have to be careful. We have to be careful in what we even listen to. A lot of times you might listen to different people talking on the radio. Just be careful that they're speaking the truth. And the only way that you know they're speaking the truth is because you've been in the Word of God. You have to be careful. People will try to persuade you with philosophy. I know I'm saying that again, but they will. And you have to be grounded. You have to know that you know that you know that you know. And don't let nobody persuade you to do anything differently. No, like the title is saying, obey God. Obey my voice. I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. And you don't want a God to say, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry of prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. You don't want God to say anything like that. I'm going into life lessons. God is good. He's good. Colossians 2 and 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? By faith. And that is exactly how you grow into maturity. By faith. Through faith, you depend on God's Spirit to mold you into the image of Christ. And you know what faith is? Faith is just believing. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Believe that the word that Jesus speaks is true. Just believe. Continue to believe. It said by faith. Colossians 2 and 9, life lesson. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It may be impossible for us to understand how Jesus could be totally, he's human, and totally divine. He's God, and he's human, he's a man. It's impossible sometimes for us to understand how Jesus could be totally human, totally divine. But that is the clear teaching of the Scripture. He who has seen me, when you see Jesus, you have seen the Father.
See the Father.
Jesus said in John 14 and 9, when you look at me, it says, Lord, Lord. He said, when you're looking at me, he said, how long must I be with you? When you look at me, you're looking at the Father. And people don't understand that. They call us Jesus only, because when you have seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. John 14 and 9, since all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus, and Jesus dwells in you through the Spirit, then it only makes sense that in him you are complete. What could be lacking in all the fullness of the Godhead? Everything is Jesus. Everything is Jesus. Everything is Jesus. So when you have seen, he who has seen me have seen the Father. Whoa! And people, you know, people don't understand that. And if you don't have God's Spirit within you, you will question that. You won't understand it. Life lessons 2 and 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but they are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Spiritual problems need spiritual answers. We cannot train the flesh to act more godly, because even when it behaves, it sins by congratulating itself for its success. The flesh needs to be crucified, not retrained. We have to crucify the flesh daily. Because a lot of times your flesh will act up. It will act up. You get in traffic and somebody pull out in front of you. The flesh wants to do something right back. Somebody slap you or say something nasty to you. It's the flesh. It wants to react. Just like Jesus was in the garden. And he prayed 3 times, Father, deliver me from this. Not my will, but thy will be done. That flesh did not want to be crucified. The flesh, I mean, my Lord Jesus. The flesh acts up. And even with Jesus, the flesh did not want to be hurt like that. But he said, not my will, thy will be done. Let your will be done. And they put 39 stripes on that body. They just beat him. They spat up on him. They did everything to him even before he was crucified. The flesh. The flesh. The flesh needs to be crucified. Our flesh have to be crucified. Calm down now. We have to crucify our flesh daily. Daily. Because the flesh wants to act up. And it did not retrain, but crucify that flesh. Do it. Every single day, you have to remember who you are and let the Spirit of God live within you because he's in you. And a lot of times, you just have to be still and know that God is there. And he will help you through any trial, any temptation that you might have. God is in you, the hope of glory. He's inside of you. So crucify the flesh daily, every day. Say, flesh,
amen.
I'm going to let the Spirit lead. And I'm not going to let you do anything wrong. Get behind me, devil. Crucify your flesh daily. I'm going to turn this back over into the hands of Pastor. God is good.
What a word. What a word. What a word. And, you know, I have a prayer this morning and then a word from Sister Carolyn. And ask you to all please keep she and her family in prayer as they are. She will be traveling, I believe, soon. I think she delayed her trip a little bit. But just keep her family, all of us, because we're all her family. You know, we should pray for each other. I pray for you. You pray for me. As the psalmist says, I love you. I need you to survive. We all need each other in the name of Jesus. But as we go back into this word, it's from James chapter 4, verse 12, from the NCV version. It says, the only judge. What do we say? Obey God, right? Isn't that what our word today says? To obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. The only judge. Because we're so caught up in judging everybody and everything. Says God is the only lawmaker and judge. He is the only one who can save and destroy. So it is not right for you to judge your neighbor. Ooh, what a word. And it says, mighty God, you are the only one who sees the intention of every heart. You see what is behind movement. Nations and people, even more accurately, you see the motivation of each person. Who can escape your watchful eyes? Who can slip under the radar of your wisdom? There is no one who has ever lived that will be exempt from your thorough examination of their lives. You see it all. You are the only one who truly understands every person and every situation. You are the only judge. When I am tempted to pass judgment on others, remind me that I am not qualified for the job. It is your place and yours alone to judge. You are full of all wisdom and mercy, and you will do it exactly how it should be done. I will do what you have called me to love my neighbor and dole out mercy instead of condemnation. Let me live as one who humbly holds the power of the forgiveness I received from you and freely give to others. Question for this morning, as we obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people, as our Father God said in his word, do you trust that God can judge more rightly than you can? Do you trust God? Are you willing to obey his voice? Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to trust the Lord in all things? And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word that she sent early this morning, and on yesterday, we had just missed her yesterday, and it says, good morning. For no matter how difficult life can get, there is always some type of blessing that you can look back. God is done. Think back, give him praise, and trust him. What did our word say this morning? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Forever.
We have to tell God, thank you. And, you know, think back and give him trust, give him praise, and trust him. Do you trust God today that he will take care of you? I trust God today. I trust God tomorrow. I trust God yesterday. I'm believing that whatever it is that I need, God has already provided. That he has already, it's already done. And as we go into this word for this morning, it says, good morning. God will lead you where he wants you to be. But you have to talk to him daily to see where he wants you to go.
Amen.
Prayer. And then she says, have a wonderful Wednesday. Sister Carolyn always has a word for everybody. And we need to remember to give God thanks, to trust in the Lord, and to know that he is always working for your good. All you need to do is believe. That's our word for this morning. If there's anybody that God has given a word in your heart, now is the time for that number one to be it. And if there is no one that God has given a word, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining us this morning as we move forward in the word of God. God's word is so important. And every day when I get a word from God, all I can do is hold it in my heart and say, thank you, Lord. Because I feel almost like those words are for me. Obey my voice, Bridget Marie. I will be your God. Yes, Father. And you shall be my people. You know, I almost feel like he's saying, obey my voice, Bridget Marie. I will be your father. And you shall be my daughter. That's how I feel when I read it. I want to make it personal. I believe in my father's got me covered. And I trust him. I trust him from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, because he's never left me and he's never, ever given up on me. Hallelujah. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we, Mother Valerie and I, we pray over you and yours, asking God to watch over you. Asking God to cover you. Asking God to give you strength. Have a blessed day, family. It's time for me to go to work, and I just want to say I love you. I appreciate you. Mother, you know you, my girl. I am so happy to have you with me, and I know you're going to be taking a vacation coming up soon, but we're going to enjoy all the time we have with you. So thank you so much, Mother, for your word. Thank you for your time. Thank you for just being an awesome woman of God. And I'm grateful that God has given me you as a great, as an awesome godmother. I am very blessed and very grateful. Thank you all, family. Have a blessed and wonderful, wonderful day. It's a little cloudy, but that's all right, because it's still a new day. Tell God thank you and bless his holy name. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got things to do. It's a wrap, Mother. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day. God bless you all. This time is our final and absolute closing. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.